Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak to us again, Holy Spirit. Help us to bow before you, to not grieve you, to not quench the Spirit, but to humble ourselves before you that you can teach us exactly what you would have us to hear this morning. How we praise you, Lord, that we can worship you, that your grace, Father, we blind, wandering in our foolishness, and you've rescued us from this darkness and brought us to your marvelous light. Thank you for the moments, the days, the weeks, however long we have on this earth, that we have opportunity, that we need to redeem the time to buy every opportunity to serve you, to love you, to bring praise and honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's the gospel. The true battle is over the gospel. We understand that, don't we? The intensity, the attacks, it's the gospel. Right standing with God, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, it's the gospel. It's not about worship styles or Bible translations or philosophy of ministry or matters of personal preferences or conscience. It's the gospel. Since we began this Galatians study, I have been in a fierce spiritual battle against what the Apostle Paul calls the cosmic powers of this dark world, the spiritual forces of evil. And I understand as never before what Paul spoke of in 2 Corinthians 1:8 when he wrote, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. But throughout this battle, I have heard a consistent voice, a clarion call, sometimes drowning out the enemy, sometimes barely audible, but always distinct, the voice of God. Dave, never forget, it's the gospel." I have plowed through articles on Roman Catholic beliefs, such as grace, what it is and what it does, and the Catholic doctrine of justification by grace. I have sailed the seas of liberal Methodism and read articles such as Liberal Beliefs of Methodists, which states, and I quote, "Though varied, most Methodists, particularly the United Methodists, uphold the liberal Protestant tradition of open biblical interpretation and belief in multiple paths to salvation," end quote. I have revisited the roots of the Restoration Movement and revisited and have continued to document statements of faith of local Christian churches, and taking it a step further to make certain that I am not misrepresenting their views and belief, I have made calls to local Christian church leaders, not to set up straw man arguments or to contend, but to clarify. I clearly identified myself, told them I disagreed with their teaching, and asked if they were willing to speak to me to clarify their beliefs. Some were. Two things were never far away as I continued my study and research: the intense attack of the enemy and the voice of God reminding me, "It's the gospel, Dave. I have been humbled and broken before God, and I have soared in the wonder and splendor of the truth of God's word. I have been bewildered and perplexed. Why can't they see this?" I've wondered. "I've been overwhelmed by the vast amount of information and worn to a frazzle, only to then be strengthened by the Holy Spirit of God in marvelous ways. Whatever it was, whatever I was facing, I would always hear, 'It's the gospel, Dave. Don't forget the battle. It's the gospel.'" I can remember encountering the mindset of Eastern mysticism many years ago doing apologetics work at Moody. And I remember an account of a man from India. He was a Hindu or a Buddhist, I don't remember that. But the subject was propositional truth versus relative truth. The details of this account are sketchy in my mind, but what did stick was this. The man believed that both he and the other person could disagree on these major issues and that both could still be right. I can remember thinking with a degree of relief, well, at least in our country, the good old USA, that things are right out front. If we disagree, we disagree. Propositional truth. None of this wishy-washy, we're both right silliness. In his article, God is Logical, Truth is Propositional, Christopher Niswanger shares this. Truth is propositional. This is a hard one to wrap our minds around, but simple propositional form is the unavoidable way of all coherent thought and action for both God and men. There is a big move today to say, no, truth is relational. But whatever that is supposed to mean, it never seems to be said in anything but propositional form, end quote. You probably remember my propositional logic from early on in our Galatians study. If two people disagree on major principles of a particular subject, then there are only two possibilities. One, both people are wrong. Or two, one person is right and the other person is wrong, but both people cannot be right. But I am discovering more and more that propositional truth is disappearing in our country, even among professing evangelicals. I'm not alone in this, by the way. In his article, A Basic Understanding of Eastern Mysticism, Freddie Davis provides this insight. You may think that you don't really have that much interaction with Far Eastern mysticism because you don't hang out with Hindus and Buddhists. The fact is, the tentacles of this worldview have penetrated deeply into many parts of modern American society without most people even realizing what it is. Whether you realize it or not, you run into concepts related to Eastern mysticism all the time. When you don't understand what it is you're confronting, the only choices are to accept it or ignore it. Accepting it pollutes your own understanding of the truth. Ignoring it puts you in a position where you are not able to stand strong in your own faith or to share the gospel effectively, end quote. What has surprised me is the extent to which this relativistic thinking has penetrated the contemporary evangelical mindset. We may not express it in the same way, but it is here. You have your saved by grace through faith alone path. I have my saved by grace through faith plus works path. We're both good. We both love Jesus. God understands our differences, and He's a God of grace. What are we thinking, though? Have we forgotten? It's the gospel. God's gospel. Did God not speak clearly concerning His gospel? Does He leave the gospel up to our convictions? Aren't these thoughts really just echoes of the serpent's words in the Garden of Eden? Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Did God actually say, what was the serpent implying? It's not really that clear, is it? Is that what he really meant? Yes. God spoke very clearly. And they found out, didn't they? They disobeyed. And immediately, darkness descended. Now they knew. Plain, simple language, just as he speaks the gospel now in plain, simple language. So with that in mind, if you would turn to Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Galatians 3, 6, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of the faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. What does verse 6 tell us? Abraham believed God, and righteousness was credited to his account. The simple, clear truth in Abraham's example. Believe God, have righteousness credited to your account, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In Galatians, we find two lenses through which we can view and interpret the gospel in the New Testament. Two ways of seeing the gospel and the rest of the New Testament. Your view of the gospel will be determined by which lens you choose. Choose the wrong lens to understand the gospel, and you will end up with a false gospel. First, we have the lens of saved by grace through faith alone, no works. The gospel's really clear through this lens. And Paul tells us in Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9, that in fact, this is the only choice, really. Only through this lens do we get a clear view of the gospel throughout the New Testament. Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary or different to the one you received, let him be accursed. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. According, Paul writing, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we have the lens of saved by grace through faith alone. We see that example in Galatians. Then we see the other lens, the example in Galatians, through they're called the party of the circumcision, the works salvation group. We have the lens of saved by grace plus something. This lens obscures the gospel as it adds works, circumcision, water baptism, etc. The gospel is not clear when we try to see the New Testament with the faith plus lens. Our eye is contaminated. Our vision is blurry. In fact, Paul speaks of the bewitching that occurs when someone looks through this lens and the foolishness this produces, verse 1 of Galatians 3. But if we look at our text through the lens of saved by grace through faith alone, the gospel that Paul preached, that he specifically directed us toward, we find great clarity. What did Abraham do to have righteousness credited to his account? What did Abraham do to be made right with God? He believed. It's simple. It's clear. It's straightforward. That is the gospel seen through the lens of saved by grace through faith alone. We believe God saves. So if this is true, then we should see this same simple, clear truth elsewhere in the New Testament. Really, we should see it throughout the New Testament. And we certainly do. We're going to look at the evidence for a clear, straightforward gospel where we believe and God saves. You have some of these verses on the inside of your study sheet. There are so many, and these were select verses, that there just wasn't room. I have given you references. There's 49 references. There's well over 50 verses. And so I'm going to read some of those. Again, if we're seeing the New Testament, if we're seeing the gospel through the lens, these glasses are the by grace through faith alone. It says believe, and it's credited to your account as righteousness. Nothing's added. In fact, Paul speaks against time and again adding. So if that's true, if that's the correct way to view the New Testament, it should be in the Gospels, it should be in Acts, it should be in the letters, shouldn't it? So let's look. John 20:31. And I started with this one specifically because it gives the purpose of writing this scripture. John 20, 31, but these are written. Why is it written? He had said, there's a lot of other things we could have put in the book that Jesus did, but we wrote these. Why? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. It's clear, simple, straightforward, isn't it? John 1, verses 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John 3, 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. John 3, 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 3:18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. John 8:24, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Acts 10, 43, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Acts 13, 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. Acts 16, 30 and 31, then he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 3:21-22, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Galatians 2, verse 16, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. Galatians 3:22, but the scripture imprisoned everything under sin so that the promise by faith in Christ Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. 1 Peter 2, 6, for it stands in scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever, guess what the word is, believes in him will not be put to shame. 1 John 3:23, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another just as he has commanded us. 1 John 5:1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. 1 John 5:10 through 12, whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And then some faith verses, which it means the same thing. To have faith means to believe. Hearing when faith means believing what you've heard. Romans 3:26, it was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, verses 5 through 9. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. I intentionally read those many verses, and I wasn't going to belabor it and read all of them because it would take all of my time and more, to make a point. This is very compelling evidence for saved by grace through faith alone. What could be the problem? There is no problem unless you are looking through the wrong lens. Unless, like the circumcision party in Galatians, you insist on some work. Whether that work is circumcision, whether that work is baptism, now you've blurred your sight. Some groups who hold to grace and faith plus works want to view the gospel in the New Testament through a different lens, especially using certain verses in Acts. Two verses specifically, Acts 2:38 and Acts 22:16. But there are major problems with this. First, these verses need to be understood through the lens of the gospel that Paul preached. Remember, Paul gave us the inspired direction by which we determine a gospel to be true or false. The standard is the gospel that Paul preached. These two verses have been misunderstood and misapplied to teach a false gospel of faith plus water baptism. Acts 2:38. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 22:16. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. But viewed through the eyes of Paul, through the saved by grace, through faith alone lens, we read and understand these verses much differently. So here are Peter's words in this sermon in Acts 2:38, using a strong translation from the Greek and viewed through the saved by grace, through faith alone. And Peter said to them, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, on the basis of the forgiveness of your sins. And then Ananias' words to Paul in Acts 22, verse 16. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized. Wash away your sins by calling on his name. The text is not what is unclear. It's how we are seeing the text, the lens with which we are looking. I can't convince you of anything. My intent is to give you the best opportunity possible to hear the word of God. So then, that in mind, let me ask, do you know what happens to water baptism after Acts? It fades into the background. It rides off into the sunset. Is it mentioned? Yes, it's mentioned. Is it integral? Not at all. This is devastating to the argument of those who want us to believe that water baptism is necessary for salvation. Shouldn't there be one text after the other, as there is with belief, directing us to be baptized? Those texts are there for believing, for faith alone. We just saw that, and we probably didn't read half the verses that we could have. So where are all the be baptized verses? And shouldn't Paul be hammering this home in Romans and Galatians when he focuses on the doctrine of justification? But again, absent. In fact, worse than absent, because Paul tells us again and again, multiple in Galatians 2:16 that we read, in that verse alone, three times, Paul says, no works, time after time. Why is it not there? Because it's not the gospel that Paul preached. They are using the wrong lens to view their Bible. God gives a crystal clear view of the gospel, but some obscure the view by putting works salvation before their eyes. As an example, it would be like you having perfect 20/20 vision, but you put on a scratched, smudged pair of glasses and insist that is how someone, if they are truly spiritual, sees clearly. If water baptism is so important to the doctrine of salvation, why does Paul not include this when he expounds in detail how a person can be made right with God in Romans and Galatians? The faith plus lens leads you to a false gospel. You may protest, well, Romans 6:3 and Galatians 3:27 support water baptism. So let's look at them. Romans 6:3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What do the words say? There is no reference to water. And this is referring to something that has already happened. What is that? Well, we find the answer to that in Matthew 3:11, Acts 1:4 and 5, and 1 Corinthians 12:13. In Matthew 3:11, John says, I, John, baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Continues that thought in Acts 1:4 and 5. And while staying with them, he, Christ, ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And 1 Corinthians 12:13, this is what happens. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. This is the work of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a divine act. This is what it means to be baptized into Christ. Christ, through the Holy Spirit, immerses us into his body, brings us into himself. When you trust in Christ, you become a member of the body of Christ. This is the work of God. This is what it is to be baptized into Christ. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We just had in our last Galatians message, I know it's been a while, but Paul writes in Galatians 3:2, let me ask you only this, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, or by hearing with faith, by believing what you heard? Can you see how clear that is when you are looking through the correct lens? And there are more problems with the faith plus water baptism salvation lens. The false teaching of adding water baptism to salvation is not even consistent through the book of Acts. For example, look at Peter's call to repentance in his very next sermon in Acts 3:19. Acts 3:19, repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. No call for baptism, but very consistent with the translation I gave earlier for Acts 2:38. Repentance, not water baptism, is the emphasis, is the key to the text. Study the sermons and instructions in Acts. You will find references to water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, of course. No one's arguing that. But the only way to see water baptism as part of salvation is to force an interpretation on the text that comes from a blurred, man-made lens. Remember, the other gospel comes from accursed humans. That is who's making, if you believe, work salvation, that is who you are believing as how you see the gospel. A blurred man-made lens that insists on works and does not understand grace. So when I hear, well, it's not really that clear, is it? I do understand much better what is going on, and hopefully you now will also. The text is clear. The text is crystal clear. The problem is not the text. The problem is the seeing instrument. In Matthew 6, 22, 23, Christ refers to this defective lens as a bad eye. Matthew 6, 22, 23, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye or your lens is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye, if your lens is bad, then your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? The gospel will not be clear to the person with the bad eye. The bad eye allows darkness and confusion to trouble the soul. The bad eye causes the torment and conflict of a person who knows true things but does not know the truth. A person who knows true things but does not know the truth. This is the person who tries to work for what God would freely give. This is the person who tries to work for what God would freely give if they would only believe. Romans 3:24, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Romans 4, verses 4 and 5, now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. The gift is a gift. Salvation is a gift. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. This is the gift of God. What is your gospel? What is your answer to the person who comes up to you with the question? What must I do to be saved? I put a collage of faces on the back of our study sheet. Those people, they come up to us. What must I do to be saved? What do we tell them? If your answer adds any work to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you've given them a false gospel. If you cannot resist the urge to add water baptism, then you have given them a false gospel. Or maybe you are uncertain and want to make sure you cover the bases, so just to make sure you add water baptism, you have given them a false gospel. Add anything to saved by grace through faith alone, and you have given them a false gospel. You may think that this is harsh. You may be angry with me and want to set me straight and tell me that these are good Christian people that I have been speaking against. First, let me remind you, it's the gospel. There's only one. Any different gospel brings the curse of God. And we are not talking about people, but the doctrine of salvation, the gospel. Second, there is nothing good or Christian about a false gospel. There is nothing good or Christian about a false gospel. A false gospel does not save. It does not make good Christians. It does not make Christians at all, but keeps them under the curse of God. Third, if you want to set me straight, then maybe talk to the Lord about it first. See what he has to say. But know this, my hope and prayer is to love God first, up to and including my very last breath. And by the grace of God and the truth of his word, I will not give an inch, not a micron, to a false gospel that dishonors my Savior and what he has accomplished at Calvary. God willing, I will hear and obey his clarion call to the gospel until the end of my days. It's the gospel. Life or death, blessing or cursing. It's the gospel. Salvation or damnation, heaven or hell. It's the gospel. And there is only one. Would you pray with me? Father, help us to hear you. Holy Spirit, teach us, direct us, guide us, how we praise you for your word of truth, the clarity of your instruction when we're submitted, when we're allowing you to direct us. Speak to each of us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.